Moral Revolution community, welcome back to our podcast. I'm so glad you joined us today. Let's talk about it.
Hey, let's talk about it, listeners. Kate here today, and we have a really special treat of an episode for you this month. It is definitely for the females, but you husbands are going to want to listen as well to kind of, you get to have like an eavesdropped conversation on two women talking about what gets her going. So us women, it's so fun. We get to have a one-on-one female conversation today about some of the hangups and then some of the things that we just don't even understand about what gets us going in our sex lives and our marriages. Now, listen, our special guest today, she is an expert on the topic. She's an expert on so many topics, it was hard to pick which one. Deborah Falada, if you're not familiar with her already from our platform, she has many blogs on our platform. We have another podcast talking about purity culture with Deborah Falada on our YouTube and podcast, but she's the author of books about single and dating, true love dates. So if that's your season, go find that. She has Choosing Marriage. She has another marriage books, Married Sex. That's the main one we're talking out of today. And then her newest book is Reset, which is all about healthy habits. And one of my all-time favorite books of hers, because she has six, is the Are You Really Okay? And it's all about the mental health side. So she's a licensed counselor. She also has her counselors network that we try to tell you guys about all the time because we are huge proponents for finding a really amazing Christian counselor. And sometimes it's hard with where you're located. So she has created an entire network so that people can find good counseling online as well. So as you can tell, Deborah is a very busy woman. Welcome, Deborah.
It's good to be here, Kate. I love being with you guys.
Yes. So, Deborah, tell us a little bit more about Married Sex before we jump in so that they know where did this come from? Why did you write this book and a little of the background?
Yeah. So this book was kind of birthed out of a desire to tackle this subject in kind of a different way because, you know, a lot of books out there are written by couples, which is great. But this book is written by two different people with two different experiences. So I partnered with my friend, Pastor Gary Thomas. He's a man in his 60s. He's a pastor. I am in my 30s. I'm a licensed counselor. He's a male. I'm a female. So we just thought, you know what? We have such different perspectives. We're in such different seasons of life. How cool would it be to kind of pull from our different expertise and all of the people that he's seen and worked with as a pastor, all of the clients I've counseled as a counselor, and just kind of draw our experience together in a comprehensive guide all about married sex. So the book is called Married Sex, and we kind of take turns writing different chapters from our different voices and perspectives.
Yes, it's so exciting. It's such a needed thing. We had one of our staff members, as she got married a couple of years ago, we gave her like all of the books, you know, all the Christian books that are on our shelves here in the office. And so she read through a bunch and she was like, Caitlin, Married Sex is the best. It's my favorite one. You need to tell everybody to read this one.
Oh, so I love that.
If you're not listening, we'll kind of tell you more even at the end of how you can get the book and even more interactive content from Deborah and people on this topic. So, but today we're diving into the topic specifically on what gets you going, what gets her going, being the she in there of what are some of those hangups and really diving in. It does feel like this conversation where you're like, is it even okay to have this? So put your earphones on if you're listening around little kids that are maybe in the kitchen, if you're washing dishes or something, put your headphones in because we're going to dive into some really helpful conversations. It's the kind of conversations I find myself having all the time because of my story. And then I'm sure you're having it as well in the counseling office.
Absolutely. And I would even say if you're single, you can still listen in.
Yeah.
Because the way that we're talking about it today is for education and information. And you kind of need to know what's coming up so that you can get your expectations in a healthy place rather than surprise, you know, which often happens on the wedding night. It's like we try not to do any investigating. You know, we stay away from everything, including good information. And then we get there and we're like, I don't even know what to expect. I don't even know if this is wrong or right. Or what do other people like? So it's good to kind of go into this with the longing and desire to have good information and good content.
Oh, that's so good. Good, good, good. Okay, so let's dive in. This is a chapter of the book, y'all. So again, if this is just going to feel like a teaser, go get the book to get more. But let's dive into what gets you going. What are the first things that we need to be aware of?
Yeah. So when we wrote this book, we thought it was important to kind of break it up into a couple different sections. What gets him going? What gets her going? But also what gets you going? You, because I think sometimes we fail to take personal ownership of our sex drive, of our sex life, of how much we're enjoying sex. Oftentimes we put it on our partner. If I'm not enjoying sex, it's my partner's fault. He's doing something wrong, or it's not what I expected. Mm-hmm. It's not what I want. But I think it's important for us to realize that we have an important role and a responsibility for sex to be what we want it to be. And I think a lot of people are living in this subpar, if that, for some people, subpar, non-existent sex life that they're not pleased with, they're not happy about, but they don't know what else to do, and they just kind of leave it there. So my hope is that these conversations and these chapters will kind of help us in, be encouraged to realize that we do have a role in this. So let's start with our role. If I had to tell you what is your first role in having a healthy sex life, it would be your mentality and your mindset about sex. I think I would have to start there.
Definitely.
Because this includes all of the things that we bring into the bedroom that have influenced what we believe about sex. So there's two parts to mindset. There's things that we've carried from the past, and there's things that are happening in the present. Mm. So let's talk about the past for a minute, because you and I both know, coming from the Christian conservative space, oftentimes we have this guilt-laced, shame-filled view of sex. And we come into it with, well, we talked about last time, some of the purity culture, though the main message of the purity culture was good, it wasn't always the proper methods in how they were delivered. And sometimes those methods caused harm, and people thinking that sex is bad or wrong or shameful, or my body is bad, or my body is causes people to stumble. My body is not good. And when you go into the bedroom with wrong beliefs about sex, you better believe it's going to affect your libido. It's going to affect your drive. Like, how can you have a healthy appetite for something that deep down you believe is wrong?
So good.
And for so many people, it really has to start there.
That's so good. Now, okay, let's go down two lanes. So that first one that you kind of opened the door to, if you did grow up where it was just a silent culture, you know, your curiosity feels shamed, let alone any, you know, experiences, but you just have this no, 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 no mindset where you're supposed to flip the switch and it goes to yes. How do you start to change your mindset? What do you start to feed on? Like, I remember having conversations with women where it's like, okay, well, Song of Solomon, but you're like, I don't even know how to rightly interpret what that is saying. Like, how do I get my mind into this gear of, oh, this is so good, and God, this is good for me, and it's good for my marriage, and it's something I should anticipate and look forward to. It's not dirty and perverse.
Yeah. Well, first of all, I'll tell you what helped me. And I think for me, it was a combination of reading good books from authors that I valued and appreciated, but also having good mentors. Mm-hmm. I will never forget sitting across the table from my mentor and having conversations about sex at an Applebee's. You know, it was like, I was feeling awkward. Yeah. I was a college student at the time. I wasn't even married yet. Like, marriage wasn't even on the horizon, but I had this mentor who was just honest and open with me about life and sex and expectations, honest with her mistakes, honest with what she's done right, honest with what their sex life looked like, and how to make it better. And I remember having to like brace myself, like, okay, we're talking about this in the middle of Applebee's, but this is good and healthy and right. So a combination of interpreting God's word the right way, having good, healthy content, even conversations like this, that you're filling your mind with some information, something new, listening to people's stories in a positive, healthy, hope-filled way, people that have healed, people that are enjoying sex and have overcome some of the hurdles, like you and I. And so I think even just being here and listening to this conversation is a great place to start. And also having the grace to know that this isn't a one-time conversation that's going to change your life. What is going to change your life is a series of choices,
yeah,
a series of decisions and how you think, a series of conversation. You're slowly changing the narrative. The experiences begin to change. It's not just this once and done process, just like it wasn't a once and done process to get yourself to an unhealthy space about sex.
Yeah.
It's going to take the journey of healing to move yourself to a place of truth. And let me tell you one other thing that helped me. I'll never forget having the conversation with my mentor about the idea that sex should elicit a feeling of gratitude rather than a feeling of shame. And I remember coming to my mentor in the middle of a struggle with sexual sin and just expecting her to like rail on me and be like, I'm so disappointed. I can't believe you're doing this. You know, you're supposed to be a Christian and here's some Bible verses that are going to help you out. But she just looked me straight in the eye with the utmost compassion and said, Deb, thank God for those desires. Be grateful that he's given you those desires because those desires are good and they're from him. And gratitude always moves us closer to God, whereas shame moves us away from God. She didn't say like, keep doing what you're doing.
Right.
But what she said is like, don't shame yourself for these desires. Thank God. These desires are normal and they're holy and they're good. Just like your appetite is normal and good for food. God gave you that appetite. But what you do with that appetite really matters. And when I was able to say, thank you, God, for this desire, it started to shift things in my heart because now I was drawing closer to God rather than feeling that shame that was moving me away from him. And the irony is that shame cycle is usually what brings you right back in to unhealthy habits with your sex life, unhealthy things, unhealthy behaviors, sexual sin. It's the shame that drives that more than anything.
Wow. That's so good. Oh, we can have a whole nother conversation about mentors.
I know.
That's so beautiful
that
you had such a good one. I love that. Okay, so we talked about coming in with the mindset that came from maybe the purity culture, the shame.
Yeah. So we have to remember that sex is good.
Yes.
We have to remember that sex is powerful. We have to remember that sex is not just for the man.
Yes.
It's for the woman. And all of these things are backed up biblically.
Yeah.
One of my favorite things that my co-author says is the Song of Solomon starts with the pleasure of the woman. She said, let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for his love is better than wine. It starts with her receiving pleasure. Isn't that something?
Yeah, that is.
And so we often think, oh, you know, we get taught that that sex is for the man. A man needs sex. And it's like the woman is just on the back burner.
Right.
Like, that's not God's intent. You know, it's this, we've interpreted it in such an unhealthy way. But if you just look at scripture, it's completely different. It's for the woman just as much as it is for the man. And so we have to make sure that when we come to the table, we're taking inventory of the beliefs that we have brought.
Yes.
Whether we've heard things from our parents, whether we've heard things from the church, whether we've experienced things in our relationship. How are my beliefs impacting my view, impacting my desire, impacting my expectations of sex? We have to get our expectations in a healthy place.
That's so good. And then even thinking, what are you watching? Like, what is your intake? Because so much of what we're bombarded with on the daily is going to create false beliefs, terrible expectations, and a lot of that either duty or objectification or the power from being sexy as a woman, all the things. Now, my perspective coming in was the other side of it, right? So I came from a promiscuous background without the Christian foundation or beliefs. So it was just, I lived the life that media told me to live. You know, it was keep it on the down low. Nobody has to know, it was hookup culture. It was as many guys as possible. And that's how, you know, it made me feel powerful. But so undoing so many of those moments that also, you know, led to PTSD from so much pressure and my body tightening up and hating it and feeling like I couldn't escape. I've seen this trail of like, I've had to keep doing the mental work, even after moments of breakthrough, moments of freedom and restoration and redemption and healing, then there's still these little mindsets that come in. I'm like, oh, wow, I can see the link between why I don't like this still from something that happened when I was 14 years old. Yeah. So would you speak to that, of those women that are listening that are like, okay, I didn't come from purity culture. I had a lot, or maybe I did, either way, but I had a lot of sexual experiences that my body now has experienced being touched, you know, oral sex, intercourse, all of these things in this sinful way, but also it's just the way my body's learned it. So how do I shift my mindset to a healthy place after it's like, in a sense, my body learned sex this certain way already?
It's fascinating because I really think the same work applies whether you've come from purity culture or promiscuous culture, or we could also say porn culture for some people. Mm-hmm. Whether you've come from this side or the other, there is work that needs to be done. There is this constant mental work of aligning yourself with truth. God's truth is so balanced. And once we start tipping into one side or the other, we have moved into unhealthy territory.
Yeah.
And so I think it's really important for us to realize whether it's purity culture or whether it's porn culture, there is a constant renewing of the mind for us to live in a culture that isn't based on anything except God's truth, God's best for our life, God's plan and purpose for sex.
Yes.
And so, yeah, you do. It's almost like healing has to happen in layers. It's not this once and done process. Mm-hmm. And sure, you've done a lot of the good, hard work, but that doesn't mean there's not going to be a new layer that comes up through an experience or something that triggers you and kind of reminds your body of something inappropriate. It reminds your body of a hurt, an insecurity, a pain, an abusive situation. Things kind of come up in layers, but as we get triggered, I truly believe triggers are our body's signal saying there is more healing work to do here. Triggers reveal what God needs to heal in us.
Oh, that's so good.
It's like the sore spot that God's saying, I'm putting a spotlight on it because I want you to pay attention to it. So don't be scared when you're triggered by something. Don't be discouraged when you're triggered by something. I actually feel like it's a positive thing because it's God's invitation to deal with something in a deeper way, believing for deeper healing. And so, yeah, we are going to get triggered. And I think when we do, it's an opportunity for us to take the next step of like, what does it look like for me to deal with this? Is there an unhealthy belief? Is there an unhealthy experience? Is there something in my past that I haven't really worked through? Like, what is this revealing that needs to be healed?
Oh, wow. That is so good, Deborah. And I just want to take a moment there to pause and say for the women listening that when that happens, that trigger, and you're like, okay, the idea of saying it's revealing something that needs healed, I just pray that that sticks in everybody's brains and spirits, because I'm like, that's so good. Instead of it spiraling you into shame or fear or isolation or, you know, whatever, it's like it triggering you instead into saying, okay, God, here's something I need you to heal. And I think a lot of us, we get also just too busy to do it. So I just want to encourage you listeners, if that means reaching out to a mentor like Deborah had, if you don't have one, then honestly, finding a counselor. Like those were the 100%. People. That's what walked me into the healing, because even friends too in my life that I could talk to, you know, they'd empathize with me, be like, oh, I'm so sorry. But they don't have the solutions. They don't know how to lead me on that journey to completely find the healing that God has for me. So I just want to encourage listeners to always and never feel like, I remember having a moment where I'm like, am I always going to need counseling? Because it was just another layer that needed healed. Right. And I'm like, I thought I did the work. I did 18 months of this work. But I'm like, nope, it's another layer. So instead of being discouraged of, am I so messed up? Am I going to have to keep going? It's just saying, oh, wow, I get another layer of healing here. Thank you, God. So I love that.
Yeah. Amen. It's an invitation. Mm-hmm. Like God is trusting us with healing. Mm. Like he believes in us so much that he wants to take us on a deeper level. And he knows that it comes with some pain, but he trusts that we are strong enough to handle it in order to become the person that he's called us to be. And so I guess I start to see things differently now when these triggers come up in my own life, because we all have them. Mm-hmm. But it's like, thank you, God, for inviting me into a deeper journey of healing.
Oh, I love that. Okay, so mindset. I think we've covered as much as we can in our short thing. If you need more, go to the book. What would be the next step in knowing what gets me going after mindset?
So let's break mindset down into two parts, and we'll do the second part real quickly, but about the things from the past, but also about what's happening in the present.
Yes.
Like realistically, the typical woman who has a good relationship and she loves her husband and he loves her, but she's not having much of a sex drive. Oftentimes when we zoom in on our mind, it's usually not actually focused on sex. There's so much other stuff going on in our brain, the kids, the chores, the schedule, what everybody's doing, what happened today. Like, we're processing so much in our brain, and it's often hard to turn it off and to tune in and to be present. You know, it's funny. I definitely feel like this applies to our marriage, me and my husband, because oftentimes I'm like, my brain is racing a million miles an hour. I've always got things going on in my mind. And in married sex, I talk about how I can, like, something will pop into my mind and I will, like, say it in the middle of sex, like it'll just pop into my mind. And I it's funny because early on in my marriage, my husband would, this was kind of his theme phrase. He would say, less talky, more kissy. and we talk about this sometimes. I'm like, so what do you think about in the process? And he's like, I literally think about the process. That's what I think about. You should try it sometime. And it's so true. Like, when you really take inventory of your brain, I think it's also personality related, not just gender related, but many times women have a lot of different things going on in their brain at once. But if you're thinking about laundry or thinking about the kids or thinking about the schedule or whatever, it makes sense that you're not going to have a high level of arousal because laundry is not arousing, right? All of those things aren't going to get you going. What's going to get you going is what's happening in the moment. What do I want my husband to do in the moment? What is he currently touching in the moment? How does it feel when he touches me in that spot? Where do I want him to touch me? What am I going to do? Like we have to literally be present. And I think we have a hard enough time being present in life in general.
Yeah.
But how much more when it comes to being present in your sex life? So I think a huge sex organ is our brain. Mm-hmm. It's a big part of the sexual experience, what's happening in our mind, what's happening in our brain. And I really do believe it takes practice for us to learn to kind of tune everything out and be present to what's happening in the moment.
Yeah. So cutting out the distractions and figuring out what does that best for you. So, you know, if it means for us, we always, like, once we get the kids to bed, which obviously it's not like that's the only time sex happens, but when we do get the kids to bed, it's like, what helps us to both unwind and unplug to be able to be distraction free? So really just asking yourself, what are the things that help me get in the mindset? Like you said, being present is hard in general, but then it's almost like it feels, do we have permission to allow ourselves to explore, like, what's the border between fantasy and then just being present and, you know, visualizing you and your husband and what, you know, you do in the bedroom together?
Well, I think what's on the table is what happens. So what happens in your day-to-day sex life, I think, is always on the table for what you can think about. Mm-hmm. And just like thinking about, you know, think about it in any other way, all the things that your husband does that you appreciate and bringing those to mind and recalling those things and remembering them. So the things that happen are the things that are on the table. I think where it can get a little bit gray is when you start thinking about things that never have happened and probably never will, you know, yeah. Because then you're putting expectations on your spouse that probably are unrealistic. Mm-hmm. You know, so I'm not saying it's necessarily sinful or wrong. I just don't know that it's necessarily going to be helpful to think about things that aren't on the table, things that haven't happened and probably never will. But I do think it's important to just kind of imagine who your spouse is and what they've done for you. And something that Gary talks about in the book that I do appreciate in one of his chapters is something called sacred simmering. And he talks about how oftentimes we go from, imagine, you know, you want to boil some water. It's easier to boil it when it's already warm and simmering.
Yeah.
versus like cold to hot. And oftentimes we live at that cold stage of like, we're just like basic interactions with our spouse. Hey, who's grabbing the kids and what's going on today? And then all of a sudden we want to go to boiling.
Yes.
But it's hard to do that unless you've kind of intentionally are working to live at that simmer point. And one of the ways you live at that simmer point is how you think about your spouse throughout the day.
Mm-hmm.
Not just sexually.
Yeah.
But especially for women, I found that the majority of the women that we've spoken with, we surveyed lots and lots and lots of women and lots of couples, but the majority of women that we spoke with, their simmer point is emotional.
Mm-hmm.
Like thinking about the things my husband does for me, thinking about one lady said like her husband is a pastor and just thinking about him in that role and serving people like gets her to the simmer point.
Mm.
Thinking about how your husband is with the kids or his kindness and his grace and like it, all of those good, beautiful moments of marriage. So it's not just sexual things that can get your mindset in the right place, but it's also emotional and relational things too.
That's so good. Awesome.
So start with your mind.
Yes.
Get your mind in the right place. And then let's move on to our body, because
yes.
I think that's an important place too. You know, first of all, just basic body stuff. You have to realize that a big part of arousal is energy levels. It's really hard to have high arousal when you're so dead.
Yeah.
Right.
When you're so depleted. Yep.
When you're so depleted. I like to think of sex drive kind of like appetite.
Hmm.
Like someone with a really high sex drive is somebody who could eat at any time. They're always hungry. Somebody with like a typical, maybe lower, medium to low sex drive is like, I could eat. I might not be really hungry, but if you put something good in front of me, I could eat. And I feel like most people kind of hover in that category where they might not, like specifically women, like I might not want it right this second, but if you put something good in front of me, I could eat.
Yeah.
And then I would say the lowest level is people who have zero desire, who the very thought of it is just like, I can't even stomach the idea right now.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're constantly living in that category, to me, there's some things to unpack there.
Okay.
Number one, like anything that might be going on in your physical body, hormonally, chemically, you know, physically. Number two, could there be something psychologically there from your past, trauma history, negative beliefs about sex? So all of that combined, hormones and so when you're constantly living at a place of zero, you definitely want to investigate.
There you go.
And not just assume that's totally normal.
Yeah.
But investigate, because there's things you can do, whether it be things that have to do with your getting your hormones balanced, or whether it's relational and dealing with some of your past issues, trauma history. Like there's things that definitely prevent you from having a healthy appetite for sex. So you want to make sure that your body just physically, hormonally is in a healthy spot. You want to make sure you reserve your energy. Like I said, it's really hard to be hungry for sex when you are so tired and depleted. So what does it look like for you to care for yourself and reserve your energy levels? What does it look like for you to communicate to your partner what you need to reserve your energy levels? Like, hey, if you could put the kids down tonight, that would really help me reserve some energy for later on this evening so that we can be together, because I'm feeling really tired. Like, learn to tap into how you feel and what you need and communicate it.
Yep.
Rather than just go, 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 go. And then you're angry and annoyed because you're depleted and you have nothing left to give. But communicate, you know, say what you need. Take inventory of where you're at and how you're doing.
That's so good. I know for me, one of the best pieces of advice I heard, I was like, once a week, I think they had a certain night that they scheduled it, was the husband knew he put the kids to bed that night, like every week. Like Thursday nights, he puts the kids to bed and she would take a bath. And so I'm like, she's relaxed. She's feeling sensual. You know, she's shaving. She, all of the things to where he looks forward to putting the kids to bed that night of the week. He's not even thinking about it twice. And she's getting to relax and get herself present to the moment. And I was like, What a beautiful, I wish I would have heard that one earlier in marriage, because I'm like, what a beautiful piece of advice of just building that habit too, where you're like, I do want it. I think a lot of times as women, we're so depleted, we think we don't want it because we're so overwhelmed. But I'm like, no, you actually do if you would just give yourself permission to create an environment and an atmosphere where you're like, oh, I do want to be with my husband in that way. I just need to slow down and get present.
And the reminder that sex is for you, not just for him. Like, it's for your pleasure. It's for you to relax. It's for you to feel connected. It's for you to feel loved and nurtured and cared for. It's for you to feel served and honored. And, you know, that's how it should be. And if sex isn't that way, I think that's telling. I think there's some work to be done there. I think there's some counseling that needs to happen so that sex is at that point where you feel like, yes, my husband and I both truly believe that sex is mutual. It's for both of us. It's not just about him and his needs. It's about us and our relationship. And so going back to getting your body ready, reserving your energy levels, but you mentioned something else too. You talked about even just taking a bath and shaving. You know, it was interesting in the surveys we did of women, one of the number one things that the women said gets them going had very little to do with the man and so much more to do with them. And that was very basic physical things like shaving and like getting lingerie on, because it made them feel good, not because it was for their husband.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny. I've always kind of just in my personality, in my nature, have always kind of revolted against the idea of lingerie. This isn't biblical. This is just my personality.
Yeah.
Like, oh, come on. Like, what is this? But it's funny because when you see it for your spouse, I could see how you get like a mixed feeling of like, I don't really feel like I need to do this for somebody. Mm-hmm. But when you realize that it's for you, like, it makes you feel better. So many women said, I wear lingerie not because my husband, it's because it makes me feel better. I like how my body looks. It puts me in the mood. And when you're in the mood and you feel better about yourself, of course, sex is going to be more enjoyable.
Yeah.
So think about it in that way. What are the things that make you feel good? Mm-hmm. Is it a type of underwear? Is it lingerie? Is it shaving? Is it taking a bath? Is it having a hot shower? Is it putting on lotion? Is it just literally sitting in bed and reading a book and vegging for a couple hours so that you have the energy? What does it look like for you to take care of yourself and your body and prepare yourself? And I think that's so important.
It's huge. That's so good. I love that.
And we talk about all kinds of ways that women, you know, all kinds of things that women said, this works for me. So it's kind of fun to see other ideas, like things that people said. And, you know, some of them I would never do, but it was still interesting to see that all across the board, women are so different.
Yeah.
And I think what it really comes down to is knowing yourself, knowing what you need, and kind of tuning in to what gets you going.
Yep. I love that. And just, I think something you touched on earlier is not basically not settling and getting stuck in a rut. I think sometimes the story we tell ourselves is like, oh, this is just our sex life, or, oh, I just don't have a lot of desire, probably never would. And so we just think this is the way it has to be. So I think my hope is that this is an encouragement to all listeners of, oh, wow, I've never thought about that. Like, I've never thought to make sure that I buy something sexy. I remember at one point, this is funny, I guess, because men will listen, but like, I was getting stuck in a rut of just like, my underwear purchases were coming from Costco. Like, I'm grocery shopping, I'm getting my underwear. Great. This is like the season
we
I'm
love
in,
Costco.
Right? But I'm like, I remember I hit this thing where Cole never mentioned, he, you know, loves my body all the time, no matter what. So I'm like, okay, great. But there was this moment where I was like, looked at myself, I'm like, why am I wearing these awful, ugly underwear? Like, I got them at Costco. You know, there's just plain cotton underwear. I'm like, I need to do
more.
No
offense, Costco, if you're listening.
So
they are definitely not sponsoring this show.
No, definitely not. Definitely not. But I think as women, just like you said, we get busy, we get stuck in a rut. Like, What makes you feel more in the mood? What makes you feel better? What makes you, and it can go both ways. Because yeah, it was never a complaint. Cole Hattie probably never even thought twice about it. But for me, I'm like, oh, I actually would enjoy this more. Like, why am I doing this? So just not getting stuck in a rut, knowing you can try new things. Just like we talked about healing in new layers. It's like keep upgrading things for yourself in the way that you feel and the way that you show up in this way in your marriage.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, what's sad is that a lot of women have never been taught to focus on themselves in that way.
Yeah.
Like, think about the narratives that we've heard. I never grew up hearing, enjoy your sex life for you. You know, I never grew up hearing what gets you going as a woman. And, you know, all of these things are kind of, sadly, things that haven't been talked about until recently.
Yeah.
And so a lot of women have no idea what gets them going. They don't even know what parts of their body feel good or don't feel good. So it's like, if you don't even know your own body, how do you expect to communicate your complex body to your husband? Because the male body is less complex when it comes to arousal than the female body. The female body, you could touch a certain part one day that feels good, but then the next day doesn't feel so good. And you could touch the same part, but touch it in a different way, and it feels different, even though it's the same part. So part of the problem is women don't even know their own bodies. They don't feel like they've had the permission to make sex about them, or they've always heard it was about the husband. And so that's kind of what it's all about. I even think husbands are hearing this stuff for the first time. And some of them are, their eyes are opening to the realization of, wait a second, like, I've been selfish because that's what I learned.
Yeah.
And now my eyes are being open to the reality of how God wants me to do this in a way that honors my wife and prioritizes her needs and focuses on her. And it's always, sex is always best when it's a mutual experience, you know? And so what does it look like for you as a woman to actually tune in to your body and figure out what you like and don't like and what feels good and what doesn't feel good, and then communicate that to your spouse?
Would you say that's one of the biggest hangups that you're familiar with, is just the communicating about what feels good or not?
Well, I wouldn't say the biggest, but definitely it's uncomfortable for a lot of couples. I guess I've been surprised at how many couples are not comfortable talking about sex. They're comfortable doing it with the lights off and nobody talking about it. But as far as like actually communicating about it as if it's like anything else, you know, like when I cook for my husband and he cooks for me, we're giving each other feedback. This was good. Let's do this a little bit differently. But with sex, people have such a different approach. It's like, you just do it. You don't really talk about it. You don't talk during it. You don't even talk after. And so I think learning to have these conversations and be comfortable having these conversations, I think my one piece of advice to a young married couple would be, get comfortable talking about sex as soon as possible, do it frequently, and talk about it even more frequently, because it's something that you have to get comfortable talking about. Otherwise, you're never going to be able to get better.
Yeah, that's so good. Okay, so what about the woman who's like, you know, you're saying all this about our bodies and getting in the mood. I've just never experienced pleasure. So I've given up. I don't try anymore. I do think of it as it just being for him, because I've basically written off the fact that I'm even capable of finding pleasure. My friends talk about it like it's so easy for them. So then I think a lot of women just give up. Like, they're like, it's not easy for me. And then I don't know what to do. So I think, would you go into that a little bit about the women listening that are just like, I've yet to experience pleasure and I don't know where to start?
Honestly, that would be my favorite type of woman, because I really believe there is so much hope there. There's so much hope. I'm actually working with a couple right now who the woman is in that exact boat. I've never really experienced pleasure. She's never really had a really good orgasm. And she's gotten close and she's had little ones and she's like, I think I've had one. But to be honest with you, she's at the early stages, and both her and her husband have a lot of work to do and a big learning curve, because there's things that they haven't tried yet. When they came to me, they thought they tried everything, but as I'm hearing them unpack their sex life and what they do, I realize there's so much more to be done. And they're still like at the beginning stages of learning how to do this. But because of our past experiences or the things we've been taught or the things we've seen, we think that's kind of, that's it. I've tried everything. But when you work with a counselor, you realize, oh, wait, there's so much I haven't tried and so much I haven't learned. And so there's so much hope for you in that stage. Now we're going to have to unpack some things and figure out, is this something in your body? Is this something from your past? Is this something that your spouse needs to learn how to do? And and he doesn't know what he's doing as far as like what works for you. So there's so many different components to it. Is this something in your body that we need to get to the bottom of? Are you on medications that could be hindering your ability to have pleasure? So there, depression can get in the way of our pleasure. There's so many things, postpartum issues. So I still have so much hope in knowing that there are so many things that we can explore to help you get to a healthy place where you can enjoy this gift that God gave you to enjoy. Now, the number one thing I will say is don't compare yourself to everybody else because everybody's journey is so different. Yeah. And honestly, when somebody says to me, it's so easy for me, part of me is like, I don't know if I totally believe it. Like, I don't know that I have met one person who would say it's totally easy. There are seasons, there's ebbs and flows. And I think the journey of any normal marriage is to get to a season where it's kind of difficult and we got to figure this out and do it a little bit differently and try something new. So to me, that's actually the norm of we've got these obstacles and we got to figure out how to work through them.
Wow, that's so good. Okay, so
I get suspicious when someone tells me it's all good, you know?
Yeah, you're like, really? Okay, so ladies, as Deborah's talking about how, you know, there's things to explore, there's things that you think you've tried it all, but you haven't, I really want to encourage you to get the book because, and maybe she'll touch on a couple more before we wrap up here, but she goes into everything from, you know, G-spot, A-spot, nipple stimulation. Like some of it as I'm reading, I'm like, oh my gosh, this makes me want to go home and be with my husband just from reading this right now.
Just to try it.
Yes. So there's so many practical tips and things that you probably haven't ever heard. Would you speak to maybe a couple things that you think women could hear? But then obviously, no, women, you probably just need to go get the book and read the whole chapter too.
Yeah. You know, even something that I would say was kind of new to me and going through this process and doing the research is you don't even realize how sensitive your skin is outside of your sexual organs, outside of your sexual areas. You know, you think of your nipples, you think of your sexual areas. You don't think of your skin as this sensual thing. But if you realize there's so many parts of your body, like behind your knees and to the opposite of your elbow, like right there in the middle of your arm, your skin is so, so sensitive and highly sensitive to touch. And there's all these parts of your body that you don't even know, but through the process of sex, those parts get even more heightened. And you realize like sex isn't just about these private areas that we talk about. It is a holistic body experience. And it's not just about feeling good sexually. A big part of sex is also just feeling good physically. And the better you feel physically, the more relaxed your body feels, the better you feel sexually. So there's all of these things that they're all connected. Like if you would have ever told me that the back of your knee is like this extremely sensitive area that will help you elevate your sexual arousal, I'd be like, you guys are nuts. Like, what are you talking about? You know what I mean? When you're like a teenager and you know nothing about it, because all you think about are those like hot spot areas when you're a teenager, you know, when it like back in the day, Kate, when you were making out with somebody, you're not thinking about the back of your knees.
Right. Nope, didn't cross my mind.
But there's all of these areas that God has given us for this holistic experience. Wow. And that's why we need to know our bodies, because I think all of these things add up to a really exciting, fun sex life that doesn't just only feel good sexually, but also feels good physically and emotionally and spiritually. And when you put all that together, I think it's something really special.
Oh, that's so good. Oh, so good. Okay, now ladies, so many of you right now, you're listening on the podcast or you're watching on YouTube because you're like, you keep telling me to get the book. I hate reading. So if you don't want to get the book and you don't like reading the book, reading books, there's obviously, it's on Audible too, right, Deborah?
It is. Yes. And I'll tell you, it's so funny because I've read so many of my books out loud. Mm-hmm. This one hit a little bit differently, especially the nitty gritty chapters of, you know, talking about the details of where to touch and how to touch.
Yeah.
And, like, it's one thing to write it. It's a whole other thing to just say it out loud.
Say all the words.
Like play by play.
So it's on Audible, but then also the reason I just wanted to make sure to share to all of our listeners, Married Sex Conference. So it sounds like something that you missed or it happened before. I would think of it more like Married Sex Series, okay? So the way Deborah's explained it before that I thought was genius is it's kind of like take a break from Netflix for a bit and you and your husband invest in watching these 20 to 30 minute series on sex. So if you and your husband are like, we're probably not going to sit in bed and pick up a book and read together and talk. Honestly, to be honest, Cole and I have never gotten there. I think we've done it like twice in our 16 years of marriage to be able to connect over a book. But hey, do we put a show on really quick to kind of release from the craziness of the day? Yes.
Right.
So marriedsexconference.com, you can go there. And Deborah has put together how many speakers? I think there was like 20 speakers.
Yeah, over 25 speakers.
Yes. And they're all speaking. She brought
and
on
you
all
guys these were on there too.
Yes. Yeah. We talked about
Cole.
I think sex after kids was our topic for that one. But it's amazing because there's these 25 sessions where you're going to get to talk about all different things of married sex, but you don't have to pick up a book. You can veg out, press play, watch it on your TV with your husband, do it alone. But we wanted to make sure that you know about that resource. It's one of the most phenomenal resources of having really good sexual conversations. If that is hard for you, you were listening, you're like, oh yeah, we haven't really talked about it. It feels really hard to talk about. Just put the show on. Then you can see what happens and what conversations stir from
it.
So
we even have a free discussion guide if you guys get the conference and you want the discussion guide, you know, we can get that resource to you easily. So, you know, reach out to us, send me an email, DM me on Instagram, whatever works. And we will get you the discussion guide as well. So you can watch these conferences. You can sit down and have these conversations. You can read the book together. This is where it starts. You know, we've got to get educated. We've got to learn. We've got to hear from different experiences. And I know this isn't one of those topics that you sit around with friends at Starbucks and talk about, you know, so sometimes it's hard to know like what's everybody else's experience. So I hope in this resource, you'll find just an easy way to kind of hear from others without it being weird or creepy or too much information, but just like getting to understand the experiences of others really helps you normalize your own experiences and even gives you ideas and things to try. And so it's an important conversation and it's one that you need to start getting comfortable with.
Yes, I agree. And it's very inspiring. I did listen to one just by myself because I forget the name of it, but it was targeted towards women of like, secret spots for, you know, on your man. I'm like, oh my gosh. And I just listened to the like folded laundry while listening and watching, taking notes every after folding a shirt, you know, it was so good. So marriedsexconference.com, we'll put the link in the show notes here. And we even have, I think, a discount code MORALREV. If you type that in, it'll get you a discount. So we hope that this was a teaser for you ladies and any men who've listened in that really just helps, like she said, normalize the conversation, inspire you to not settle for less than God's best. So whatever that means for the season that you're in, whether it's in your mindsets, your mood, your body, all of the things, there's so much more to talk about. So find more and DeborahFilleta.com. She has so many resources on everything, love, sex, dating, relationships, singleness, marriage, You want to check her out. If you're looking for a counselor and you don't know where to start, I remember the first time I needed one, I was like, I need to ask a friend. You're kind of like, I don't want to just go to somebody. That seems really scary. So by going to Deborah Folada's Counseling Network, it's kind of like asking a friend because you just know, hey, this is somebody who's been vetted. Deborah's checked them out. She works with them and they're going to be for me and they know the Lord and I can trust this person. So we'll put all of those resources in our show notes. Deborah, thank you so much for your time today and thanks for having this conversation.
Thanks for having me, Kate.
We'll see you next time.
Thank you guys for listening. If you want to learn more and check out all of our awesome content, be sure to head to our website at moralrevolution.com and our socials, Instagram, Facebook, all of them. But before you leave, don't forget to like, review, subscribe, all of the things. We want you guys to come back and join us. We enjoyed having you. See you next time.